Good morning. I'd like to welcome those watching remotely with us this morning. 39 from Texas, Iowa, Washington, Arkansas. And so glad that you are with us. We have a new memory verse for this month with our family devotionals, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. I hate tearjerker movies. They make me cry. And in fact, the word jerk is in tearjerker movies. I remember having seen some in the past and regretting it. Movies like Titanic. I don't know if you, now some of these are older movies, but if you ever remember the movie Awakenings, this movie was about an elderly care facility where people, elderly individuals had gone kind of comatose to where they would not interact, they didn't recognize anyone, they were really just kind of living vegetables, and a treatment was used that brought them out of that awakening. And it's a great storyline, except it didn't stick, it didn't retain, it didn't stay that way, and they reverted back to their former state, and it was a tearjerker, and I've regretted that movie ever since. The movie Harrison Ford, you like Harrison Ford? Watch Regarding Henry. Pull that one up. I even have, sometimes these kid movies will get me. Toy Story 3, there's a part in that movie. Go home and watch it today. There's a part later in that movie. It'll get you. I hate it. And even at the movies where it's dark, lights are turned down, I don't want anyone to see me cry. Anyone. What is that? What is it about us that we don't want anyone to see us cry? Why not? There's something really hardwired in us to appear a certain way to others and not appear weak or vulnerable. And so today we're going to talk about the different masks that we wear and kind of our struggles in life between what we really feel and maybe who we really are or think we are, and how we're perceived and how others see us. So we're going to start in 2 Corinthians 12. In this part of 2 Corinthians, Paul, he's writing to the church at Corinth. Now, he's helped establish, you know, and converted a lot of Christians there, and they established a church, and they had problems. He wrote them in 1 Corinthians and really lined them out with a number of things. Well, he writes them back because part of the problem is false teachers would come in, because Paul didn't live in Corinth, and so they would come in after he's gone, and they would strut their stuff, and they would brag about what they knew, and they would take the church down, you know, wrong directions doctrinally, and they boasted about who they were, their credentials. And so Paul is trying to straighten things out regarding that. He says, though, if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears in me. How do you want people to think of you? You want people to think that you're better than you really are? We sure don't want people to think we're worse than we are. So better sounds better, preacher. Yeah, I'll go for better. I'd like people to think I'm better than I really am. That's part of our struggle. Paul writes in Galatians 6:3. He says, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. It sounds like we're given a license to boast, and that's really not it. Paul's point here is about how we tend to compare ourselves with other people. About 10 years ago, we had a men's retreat, and at the retreat, it was down in Norman, Rock Creek, So we're down there, and as part of the retreat, we had there was a ping pong table there, and so we had us a ping pong tournament of the men who were at this retreat who wanted to enter this ping pong tournament, and it was vicious. It was competitive. It was fierce. And we even had a trophy. We had an old ping pong paddle, and we wrote on it, 2013 Men's Retreat Ping Pong Champion. And that trophy sat on my shelf for the last 10 years. That's right. You're looking at the 2013 Sand Springs Church of Christ Men's Retreat Ping Pong Champion. That's right. I looked at it the other day, and it's in the trash. Well, I don't know where it is now. It went in the trash, okay? It was kind of nostalgic and fun for a while. I'm thinking, who did I beat? I mean, Hendrix was there. I know I beat him. He was sad about it. I mean, I'm champion of who, okay? We feel good about ourselves. We work hard to feel good about ourselves, oftentimes comparing what we're good at compared to what someone else is not as good at. It's us against other people. Isn't that a little weird? That's how we feel good about ourselves. You've heard the story about you and a buddy. You're out in the woods, and if you come across a bear, if I can outrun my buddy, I mean, that's it. If I can outrun who I'm with, that's a lot of what we do with how we feel about ourselves. We compare ourselves to others. Now, look at this passage, Luke 18:11. Jesus pointed that out with this Pharisee. He said, the Pharisee standing by himself. Now, why? They're at the temple. Why is a Pharisee by himself, first of all? But we'll understand that as we finish this. He's by himself. He prayed thus, God, I thank you that I... Let's stop there for a second. That's not a good prayer, by the way. I thank you that I... Our prayers need to be, God, I thank you that you... I thank you for what you've done. I thank you that you have done this. But he says, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. The Pharisee, he felt good about himself because he was better than all these others. So I guess I'm pretty good. And it's tempting for us to do that, isn't it? The things you feel good about yourself, which all of that's not bad. I'm not throwing all that away. There are things that you're naturally good at, or you're gifted at by God, or you've worked hard to be good at, but we just tend to think of it compared to other people. Let's keep going in 2 Corinthians, verse 7. Paul says, so to keep me from becoming conceited. This is what God's going to do. By the way, he's referencing a time when God allowed Paul, the apostle, to see heaven. Paul saw heaven. He saw things he couldn't repeat. Couldn't talk about it. And it was amazing. But he couldn't talk about it. But he references it. And he says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. He said that twice. He already said that. Said it again. How bad is being conceited? How bad is it when we feel good about ourselves because we're better than somebody else? Conceited. It's bad enough that God helped Paul to not be conceited, but it was a painful way that he helped him. It was going to hurt. But the hurt, the thorn, was better than the conceit. Three times, Paul says, I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, my grace is enough, for my power my power. People, have you ever noticed people want to be powerful? We want to be powerful. Superhero movies are very popular, have been for a while. Superhero movies. Stephanie and I were watching a series right now that one of the female characters, she's a spy, CIA. She can fight like Jackie Chan. I mean, she's a bad woman, right? I mean, she whoops a lot of people in this series, TV series that we're watching. Men want to be powerful. Women want to be powerful. We want to be strong. Why do we want to be strong? Well, it kind of hurts to be weak. It hurts to be vulnerable. So we want to be strong. And God is teaching Paul, you might think you're strong. Look, you've seen these revelations. I mean, look, Paul, you have a lot to boast about. But you're not strong in you. That's conceit. It's empty. It's nothing. You're better than some others. Big deal. And God teaches Paul how to be strong because he says, my power is made perfect in weakness. Strength is God. If we want to talk about something strong, it's God. God's power to answer a prayer. God's power in the beginning to speak and the universe comes into existence. The universe that's so amazing, life comes into existence. Did you know scientists still haven't created a single living thing? Not a single living thing. They can't make anything come to life. Anything. We can look into what we consider remote parts of the universe, and we're pretty impressed with that. We can look microscopically at really small things, and we're pretty impressed with that. We can manipulate things, and we can understand things, and scientists think they can explain how we got here. They cannot. Not without this. Because God spoke it, and it came into existence. God's power is where power is. And he's teaching Paul this, and so Paul gets it. Paul says, I'll boast more gladly of my weaknesses. You ever been to a job interview and they said, tell us, what are you good at? What's your strength? Whew, thank goodness, because, you know, you're trying to win this job, and so you're trying to put your best foot forward, and you've already got your list of good things to say about yourself. And then they say, tell us a weakness. Give us a weakness. I hate that, don't you? I mean, there is no good weakness. Sometimes people try to, you know, you try to spin that. You ever heard someone say, well, you know, sometimes I care too much. I mean, sometimes I can work too hard. You know, just try to do my job and everybody else's job. I mean, we know that's garbage. But what do you do when someone says, tell me a weakness? Paul says, I'll boast about my weaknesses. I'll tell you my weaknesses because my strength is in God. It's not in me. Isn't that something? That's a maturity that I think a lot of us just thinking about it makes us uncomfortable. Do you want me to talk about my weaknesses? Good luck, preacher. Good luck. Talk about my weaknesses. I feel weak. When I feel weak, I feel like crying. Remember, we already went over crying. But it's God's strength. And there's a word for this, by the way, and it's humility. It's a wonderful word. He says, I'll boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Why is he strong when he's weak? Because when he's weak, he quits trying to be everything himself. He quits trying to have all the answers, trying to put on a brave face. You know, wearing the brave face mask gets old sometimes, doesn't it? And Paul can say, you know, my strength is not in me. It's in God. That's where I'm strong. That's what we need. Let's go back to Galatians. We looked a couple verses here earlier. We looked at verses 3 and 4. Let's go to verse 1. Galatians 6:1, Paul says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression," by the way, ouch. Ouch. Caught in a transgression, embarrassing, shaming. "You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." I've seen our elders do that. It's painful. I've seen them be gentle. I've seen people caught in a transgression be very defensive, like an animal that's cornered. But when handled gently, I've seen that turn from strong defensiveness to genuine repentance and restoration. And it's a beautiful thing because of Jesus. He says, "Keep watch on yourselves lest you too be tempted." Now, why would that be? These are the ones that are going to restore the one who's been caught in a transgression, caught in sin. Spiritual ones go to try to help them be careful. Why? Well, they might compare themselves to the one caught. You know how we do that? You know how the Pharisee did that? Pharisee felt pretty good about himself. He wasn't like some of these others. We can be tempted to do that. And so verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens." Let me ask you this. Do you like helping people? If somebody needs help, you ever help someone who needed help, you could do it, and you did it, and man, they were thankful, and it really wasn't even that much of a deal for you to do, but you were in a position to help, and so you provided help, and they were blessed, and you were blessed. Do you like that? Let's flip that around. You ever needed help, and you didn't want to ask anybody? Raise your hand. You needed help, but you didn't want to ask anybody. Why not? We were talking in class Wednesday nights recently, and we talked on the topic of helping the poor. And we were talking about just the idea of trying to notice when someone might be struggling and just go and bless them financially. Then came up this aspect of years ago, some of the old timers in the class pointed out that years ago, accepting charity was a bad thing. And it still is to some degree, but in the past, generations before, people would just about do anything before they would accept charity. Why is that? Why is that? Pride? And it could be because they had seen people take advantage of charity, take advantage of it. We don't like that, and they don't want to be like that. There might be some good and genuine reasons for it. But pride's a good word. We don't want people to know we need something. We don't want to feel weak. This verse here says, "Bear one another's burdens." How can you bear my burden if I don't tell you I have a burden? How can your brother or sister next to you help you with a burden if they never know you have a burden? Because you've got a brave face on. God forbid we let anyone see us have anything other than a brave face. And so being genuine, James 5:16 goes a little further. James writes, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." Last April when we had our men's retreat, at the end of that retreat, We set up a GroupMe. GroupMe, if you don't know, is just an app and a way that you can, it's like a group text. So it's a way that you can message within the group and everything stays in the group. And that group, with the men that were there at the end of our retreat, it's a prayer group. And the purpose of it is for men, when they need prayer, and they don't even have to be specific, and our men in that group are generally not specific, they just say, I could use some prayers right now. And some others will respond, but all the men in the group get the message. And we set this up because as people, we don't like others to see us vulnerable or weak, and especially as men. So we set that group up. And it's been good, and different ones have requested prayers. It's been good, but I have to admit, there are times that I've wanted to request a prayer, but I didn't because I don't like the feeling. And I don't like admitting that. But I'm confident the other men in the group have done just the same, because we don't message each other very often. And I'm very sure that we're not near that strong. We're just not. But we are brave. We can put on a brave face. But wouldn't it be good if we as Christians could be more real with each other, share with each other, be a little more brave, be a little more like Paul, who said, I'll boast about my weaknesses because of Jesus. God's word, let's go one more step. God's word has power to cut through our masks. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Have you ever read your Bible, or maybe had it reading to you? You were listening through an app, and your scripture can get you here, because there's no mask. We can fake it with other people, but not with God. And scripture has a way of cutting straight to us. And that's good. We need more of that. We need to be in our Bibles more for that reason. I want to end on this passage, a really good passage in 1 John, verse 5, chapter 1, 5. This is the message we've heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So this starts out just by pointing out that, you know, sometimes someone might say, you know, me and God are good. I pray and, I believe in God. Now they live their life. They might live just as worldly a life as anyone in the world, but they feel like them and God are good. And this scripture is saying, no, if you don't walk with God, if you walk in darkness, you're not with God. You might have a mask on, but you're not walking with God. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Fellowship with one another. Notice the contrast. The first one's saying, I've got fellowship with God. No, you don't. Now it's saying, if you walk with God, you have fellowship with each other. This is what God always planned. The church, the kingdom. That we fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I want to mention that over 20 years ago, this church started small groups. And instead of Sunday evenings coming together in another worship setting, we divide out and meet in groups. And currently, we have 9 different groups that meet Sunday afternoons and evenings. Our small groups accomplish a number of things, but one of the greatest things they accomplish is the ability in a group, a smaller group setting with people you know more, you're closer to, you've developed stronger relationships with, and more trust, you can be more vulnerable. And in our group, there are times we'll do highs and lows, and we'll do a prayer request time. And sometimes in highs and lows, a group member might say, you know, they might have a low, but they're not ready to talk about it. And then other times, one of their lows, they are ready to talk about. and they'll share something they wouldn't share with everyone. They might not want to share with everyone, or the world sure wouldn't put on social media, but they'll share with these few of their brothers and sisters in Christ. They'll open their heart, they'll be vulnerable and say, I need help. I need prayers. Here's what I'm struggling with. It's a wonderful thing. And I want to brag on our small group leaders and their wives. I want to brag on them for serving and leading our groups. And if you're not in a small group, we can help you to do that. But it's a wonderful way to do what this sermon is about. To be real and to be weak and to be strong because of Jesus. All right, verse 8, and we'll close. So verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. By the way, we can wear a mask with ourselves. I'm good. I'm better than some. At least I'm not like them. Yeah, I've been doing this and that and the other, but it's okay because, and see, we have a mask with ourselves. But verse 10, if we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Go back to verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Sometimes we wear a mask to cover shame. Shame. We're ashamed of our sins. We're ashamed of our past. And we wear a mask and we cover that. A few weeks ago, it was down this left hallway between class and worship, and Lynn Wittenberg was down at the end of the hallway, and class had just let out, and little Isaac, five-year-old Isaac, his grandson, comes running up to him and says, Papa, I'm sorry. And he starts going in about apologizing for something he had done or said, you know, recently. He said, I'm so sorry, and he's pouring out his heart. And Lynn's just, it's okay. It doesn't really, you know, I don't even know what you're talking about. But the boy is genuinely repenting, and it's really worried him, you can tell. And so Lynn said, it's all right. And so finally, Isaac's whole demeanor changes. Okay. And he takes his papa's hand, and they walk down the hall, hand in hand. Sometimes we don't want to walk with God because of our shame. We think God doesn't want us. Sometimes our shame, and shame is from Satan. Guilt is from God. Guilt leads to repentance, which leads to life. Shame will keep us from God. And we can wear a mask and we can say we're okay and everything's okay, but we're not walking with God because we're ashamed. And sometimes it's for sins in our past that God has long since forgiven us. And when we come to God and we try to apologize again, God is saying, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, God does, but it's forgiven. Take my hand. God wants us to walk with him. We're going to sing a great song about freedom in Christ. And we have freedom because Christ paid all the penalties for our sins. And so I encourage you in this song, draw near to God. Draw near to God and find strength in God's strength and in our weakness. If you have a need this morning, we would love to stop and pray for you. If you're not a Christian, you're not right with God, you're not ready to meet God, let us help you with that. We can do that this morning. If you'll come while we stand and sing.
My chains are gone, I've been set.